At the end of this month, Chandra and I and our family will have been here for 9 months. Seems like it's gone by pretty fast, and you guys are probably like, man, when's his contract going to be up? But it's been about 9 months, and I remember moving here, and like, you know, I grew up in Iowa. I know that Iowa is just a grid of roads, you know. They run this way and this way, and then they meet up, and I spent a lot of summers up at camp, but I never really made it down to Bangor. And I came here maybe twice for set apart or something like that. But we came to Union every once in a while to utilize the pool and the country club facilities. But anything out around here, I knew nothing of. So I discovered that there are these things called flat maps. And John Good gave me some and Chuck gave me some. And so I'm carrying these maps around trying to figure out how to read these, because I've never read one before, because you just don't need a map out in Ohio because all the roads are paved and they all connect to a town. So... But out here, you can drive a long ways before you reach a town. And Rick, being the good clerk he was, let me have his TomTom. This wonderful machine that I'd never used one before, but I heard they're really good. You know, you punch in the address and it takes you where you want to go. And when you turn the wrong way, it'll recalculate and it'll still get you the way you want to go. So you can get there by driving any road you want to, and it'll keep telling you the right way to go. And this worked most of the time. But I remember, I think I was about 20 minutes late to Johnny and Gladys's one time because it took me down by the crooked bridge and then way past their house, and then stopped me in the middle of the gravel road around nothing and said, "You're there." And I'm like, "I don't think I'm here." And I was about a half mile past Johnny and Gladys's, so I'm driving back and forth on the gravel roads trying to find their place. And they're trying to tell me where their place is, and it's still not working. And half the time it doesn't pick up where you are anyway. It says GPS unavailable. So I think they've got some work to do out here. But and then the other time I tried to find the Grafke's place, and it took me down to Nick and Kathy Patton. So it's not always perfect. But Rick gave me this wonderful GPS, and... I used it for a while, and then I shelved it, you know. Sorry, Rick, but the charger he gave me quit working, and it would only get me for like 20 minutes of go time, and then it would die, and then you're stuck, because you didn't bring a map, because you got a GPS, and then GPS died, and you don't know where you're going. So a couple of weeks ago, four of us guys hopped into Rick's car, and it was Rick Bachman and John Good. I'm going to go ahead and say the names, Reg Martin and myself. And Rick's driving, John's up front, and Reg is to my right, and I'm sitting in the back, just so that you can really get the picture. And we're in Rick's car, so there's no bumper on the front, and you can see how much windshield wiper fluid he's got, and that sort of deal. So we're driving to West Branch, and Rick says, "You know, if you've got that GPS handy, go ahead and grab it and bring it along." And I didn't say anything. I didn't tell him it'd been sitting on my shelf, and I had to find the charger. And so we pull this out, and he boots it up and tries to find West Branch, and we go about, I don't know, down to Marshalltown, and the battery dies, of course. Luckily, Rick had another charger in his car or something like that, so he's charging it. And, of course, West Branch, you can find it off of 80, so we did. And we got to West Branch, and we survived the meetings and everything, no blow-ups. They were good meetings. And then we leave, and the four of us in the car, you know, we had been planning this trip for a while. We were going to go up to Makokata and eat some fish. But we decided, you know, on the way back we can stop at the Amanas because they supposedly have some really good food. I'd never been there. So we were trying to find the Amanas, and of course there's a sign off of 80 that says Manas is north like 6 miles or something, and then you make a big loop through all the colonies. And you know, GPSs, they have that really nice function that says categories, and you can press restaurants and it'll give you a list of the restaurants in the Amana colonies. And one of the restaurants, we went through them all, and these guys have all been there, so they're like, "Smokehouse? Well, no, I've been there. How about the Ox Yoke or whatever? Well, we've been there too." And so this restaurant name, I think it was Zuber's, came up on there. So we chose Zuber's because they'd heard good things. Maybe someone had been there. I don't know. And so we punch it in, and the GPS is working great by this time because we're around the Manas. We're on Interstate 80, so of course the satellites will reach the major roads, and it says go ahead and take a right. You know that road, and it's about 6 miles, and so we take a right, and we're heading north, and we go about 3 miles, and it says, "Okay, go right," and we're looking, and that's a gravel road. So Rick says, "No, that's a gravel road. I think it might be mistaken or something," so we kept going, and we get to the next road, and it says, "Redirecting coordinates or whatever, turn right. And so, of course, we turn right because it told us this is how you get to Zubers. It says, I can tell you how to get to Zubers. You got to turn right. And so we turned right. And we're thinking, well, maybe this gravel road connects to another highway over here. And that there's another way into Zubers. And this thing, because it's a wonder machine, just knows how to get there. So we turn right. And by this time, we're going back east towards West Branch where we came from on gravel. And we're getting out in the country and out in the country. And then it says, turn right. Okay, so we turn right. So now we're going south again, back towards 80. And so we go for another couple, 3 miles, and it catches up to the, or not a couple, 3 miles, but we go another half mile, and it catches up to the road that was going east in the first place and says, okay, go left. And so then we go east, and it's still a gravel road. And we're driving, and we're getting out in the country. I mean, there's guys hauling manure, the guys working on their barns, guys looking at us four guys in this car just watching us drive by like, what are these guys doing out here? These aren't country folk. And so we're heading, and then we come to another intersection. It says Zubers, however many, like a quarter mile, turn right. It's a dead-end gravel road. So we sit there for just a little bit, and we're thinking, I don't know that Zubers is going to be here. And Reg says, well, you know, we can see the trucks going on 80, so I think maybe it's just right there by 80, and we can get to it or something. But we'll go check it out. So we turn right, and we pass this guy on this New Holland skid steer, and he looks at us because he knows that we don't know that we're going to his house because he lives at the end of the lane. So we pull into this house, and it says you're at Zubers. And we'd followed this thing because it told us this is where you get to Zubers. It was telling us what we wanted to hear, so we followed it. And Rick told me to get out and go knock on the door and ask what was for supper. And after I convinced him that I wasn't going to do that, we turned around, went back past the guy in the uni loader who watched us go back the other way, took our left, went back past the people spreading manure. By this time, I think we shut the thing off. We finally got to the Amanas, and I think we checked about every colony there was until we actually got to one that had restaurants. In one colony, we drove around it for like 10, 15 minutes looking for a restaurant, and they're not very big. So that was our wonderful GPS story. Now, the GPS was used as a guide to get where we wanted to go, and obviously it had let us down because we never did find Zubers. I don't know if Zubers was at that one colony we went to or not, but we never did find Zubers, and the point was that we did everything that dumb GPS said to do because it promised us that it would lead us where we wanted to go. And we wanted to go to Zubers, and so we followed those directions pretty blindly. You know, gravel roads, dead ends, people spread manure, just a prime spot for a restaurant, you know, right out where they're spread manure out in the back. And we followed every direction it took us. All the signs that were telling us that we're driving were saying something isn't right. All the gravel roads, everything we're going, like, something's not right that this restaurant, Tyler, sit down, that this restaurant that is in the GPS is going to be on a dead-end gravel road, but yet we continued to follow it because it told us that it was going to deliver. And it's a pretty simple concept with some minor consequences. The concept was that it told us what we wanted to hear. And believe it told us that it knew exactly how to get to Zubers. And then it was trying to convince us that this farmhouse was Zubers when we got there. By that time, we quit listening to it. And what it was telling us mattered more to us than really looking at our surroundings and saying, this is obviously the wrong way to go. This guide is obviously wrong. And then the minor consequences, Rick got hungry. You know, it was, I think we were all a little hungry by that point because driving gravel roads makes you hungry. And so we had some hunger pains, maybe a little embarrassment. Then we found out Rick had bought the thing over in like Korea or something off the internet. So that was part of the problem, maybe. But how many people have ever done this concept? You know, you take the advice of the wrong guide. And sometimes, I know for me, you take the advice because it's what you want to hear, right? I know that there are sometimes when I want to do something, sometimes you got to get 5 or 6 or 7 opinions before you get the right opinion to let you do what you want to do and make you feel okay about it. We keep getting advice until someone tells us what we want to hear. And that was what the GPS was telling us what we wanted to hear. And I think it's important to understand, like, there is so much information today. I can't imagine what it was like when my grandparents grew up. But I know all I have to do is click on the computer, and I can ask. I ask lots of questions on the computer, and I get lots of answers. But the thing about that is anybody can put their opinion on the internet. Anybody can put their answers there. And if you don't look carefully enough, if you don't screen the information, you don't know who's telling you what. You don't know what guide you're listening to. Now, what we have to ask ourselves when we're seeking advice is, where is it coming from? Are we checking out the people who are giving us the advice? And the first thing to check is, does it line up with the Bible? The second thing to check is, does the advice match the characters and teachings of Christ? Because I used to give a lot of bad advice until I met my wife. And then I found out that she was willing to say, you know, that's not what the Bible says. I was like, I don't care, I'm your husband. And it took me a little bit to understand and to get it in my heart. It's like, you know what, you're right. My advice wasn't what the Bible said. My advice didn't really match up with the character of Christ, and usually had to do with loving someone or something like that. And I had less patience than she did. So are we checking what gives us advice? Are we checking that it lines up with the Bible? Are we checking that it lines up with the character of Christ? And this is very important, because I personally have to ask myself, why am I asking for the advice? It's important where we're getting the advice from. It's also important to understand why we're asking for the advice. Sometimes, like I said, you go through 5 or 6 or 7 opinions because you need to justify something, which means it doesn't match up with this, and your conscience knows it. And so you got to go until you can find someone who can ease your conscience. Has anybody ever done that? You've checked it with the Bible, or you know it doesn't match up with the Bible or the character of Christ. But I'm pretty sure you can find somebody who can make you feel good about it, can't they? And then you'll go ahead and do it. And that was something that I really had to learn to do. That I had to learn how to check my advice and check my motives for my advice and see if it lined up with the correct teachings of the Bible. And history gives us some really tragic examples of taking advice and following teachings that didn't line up with the Bible and the character of Christ. It also gives us some funny ones, like the GPS story. That's really funny to Rick and John and Reg and I. But there's some big tragedies that really happens in history because of people not really looking at their advice and not seeing where it lines up. And I think one of the biggest examples you can read about is in Deuteronomy chapters 1 and 2, where it talks about the Israelites. Now, they've come out of Exodus, and they've got to cross the river, and they've got to go into the Promised Land. And God tells Moses, okay, it's time. I've given you the land. Go ahead and go over. And so Moses tells the people, and first off, Moses doesn't listen to God because the people say, we need to send spies. And Moses says, okay, we'll send some spies over. They don't need to send spies. God has already given it to them. So Moses takes the advice of the people, saying, if I send spies, it'll make them know what we're going into them. It'll give them more confidence. And so they send spies over, and the spies come back, and they say, these people are big. These people, we can't take these people. They're heads and shoulders above us. They're stronger than us. It's the Amorites and Anakites, and we cannot take these people over, even though God had told them that he could. And so because of that, because the people didn't listen to the advice of God, because Moses didn't listen strictly to the advice of God, how long did they wander? I think it was a 40-year wandering, and God said, I have to wipe out, we have to wait until this whole generation is done. And this new generation gets to go in. Not only that, but then the people figure out that, okay, we didn't listen to God. We are supposed to go to battle. And so they battle up and they get all their swords and stuff and they go to fight. And God says, Moses, don't let them do this. I will not stand beside them because they didn't listen to me the first time. I have no longer given them this land. Now they have consequences. And so a lot of people died because they didn't listen to God. Now I think There's another one that really hits home to me, and that was one that happened in the 70s. And has anybody ever heard of Jonestown? Okay. What was it, the People's Temple or... Yeah. But you guys have heard of Jonestown. 1978, Jim Jones was one of those guys that Christ really warned about. He said, many will come claiming to be in my name. Many will come. Now, Jim Jones didn't claim to be in Christ's name, but But one of the things that he said to people was, God is dead, heaven is gone. If you need a God, I will be your God. And if you need a Messiah, I will be your Messiah. And that's a quote that really, really stuck with me when I heard him say that. We watched a really good documentary of it. But what Jim Jones did was he gathered all these people together because he was good at telling them what they wanted to hear. He was good at saying, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this, this is how we get there, just give me all your money, and we're going to develop a utopia, and we're going to get out of this United States. And the information that he was feeding them was real twisted. It was saying that the United States is going to come after you. They don't want you to have this freedom. The temple for the People's Temple or whatever it was called. And so what he did was he took all their money and he goes down to South America and he buys this land out in the jungle. And so he builds a road and he goes in there and he builds them a utopia. And I think the quote was from one of the magazines or something that it was the biggest exodus, the fastest, biggest exodus that the United States had ever had when Jim Jones called his people in the middle of the night and had them leave the country and go down south because the United States was going to shut them down and put them all in jail and do all this other stuff that he had told them. But they were so wrapped up in Jim Jones being their guide that they listened to every single thing he told them to do. And so he takes the people down there. They're all down there, and they call it Jonestown. And, that was the nickname for it. But in looking at what he did, it was a very smart thing to do if you want to take over people's minds. He put up these big towers, and on top of the towers, he put PA mics. And 24/7, he spoke to the people. And when he wasn't speaking to the people, he had tapes talking to the people. They had no outside media. They were deep in the jungle. So the only information that those people got was from him. And he would go to the United States and play his tapes and then come back and then tell the people how terrible it was and how the United States has fallen apart and how there's an uproar and freedom is gone and we can never go back. We can never go back. We can never go back. Because he didn't want people to leave. And so he filled people with information so much that in 1978, November, 918 people committed suicide when he told them to. Mothers gave this drink to their babies. It was Kool-Aid with cyanide in it, basically. Mothers gave it to their children. 918 people versus one Jim Jones and a couple of people up there with him who had some rifles. 918 people chose to listen to him as their guide. And it resulted in one of the biggest suicides in history. We don't need to really get into everything that has to do with how Jim was able to do those things, but we need to understand that it is very important to know what is guiding you. It is very important to know who is giving you information. Is it lining up with the Bible? If you want to turn into Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3 is just the whole chapter is just a really, really good chapter. But I want to read verses 5 through 8. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is my guide. In every piece of information that comes into me, I have to automatically filter through this Bible. And I hope that you guys are doing the same. And to be able to do that, you have to read your Bible. You have to get into it to understand the character of Christ, because it is very important. Christ sends very specific warnings before he dies when he talks about the future, when he says, "Many will come in my name." Now, there's a really big, big difference between following a GPS and ending up hungry to following a man's teachings and having a mass suicide. There's a big difference, but the concept is still the same, is it not? If you follow your guides blindly, they'll take you wherever they want you to go. And this Bible is the only guide that I will follow blindly, because it takes me where I'm supposed to go. So as we go this week, I think that it would be, appropriate to really think about this, especially in the world today where there are so many people throwing their advice at you. Lean not on your own understandings. Trust in the Lord and He will direct your paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have given us so many examples through the Bible and through history of what it means to follow You, Lord, and examples of what happens when we don't follow You, Father God, and follow Your teachings. Pray that You would give us the discernment to understand what is Your teachings, Father God. The discernment to see through the advice, Father God, and see if it lines up with You. And as we continue on this journey, Lord, that is our life here, we ask that You would guide us and direct us and help us not to lean on our own understanding, Father God, but to come to You. Amen.